Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. This week marks the 54th anniversary of the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty, something we've covered extensively on this program. 171 Americans were wounded or maimed. 34 were killed. The Jews believed that the American intelligence ship had intercepted some of their war plans during the height of the Six-Day War. The Jews intended that every single American sailor and officer be killed, sent to the bottom of the ocean, and then the attack blamed on the Egyptians, tricking Americans into supporting Israel in that war. But an heroic radio man aboard the Liberty, Richard Sturman, got the message out before the Jews' murderous false flag plan could be completed. As I said in an earlier program, a British reporter, Anthony Pearson, in his book Conspiracy of Silence, reports that the Jew in command of the three Mirage jets that attacked the Liberty was born in Baltimore and served as a fighter pilot in Vietnam. The pilot of the second Israeli plane was also a Vietnam veteran and had served in the U.S. Navy Air Corps. The third pilot was a native Israeli. It is rather disheartening to think that the American Armed Services had trained the two fighter pilots who thought so little of their country of birth that they joined the Air Force of another country and carried out a murderous air assault on an American ship. But such are the loyalties and nature of Jews. On this anniversary of the attack on the Liberty, I want to emphasize the attitudes and inner nature of the murderers. The writer David Sims, who we often feature on National Vanguard, writes, quote, "After their attack on Deir Yassin in 1948, Israel lied. After their attack on the USS Liberty in 1967, Israel lied. After their massacre of the UN refugee camp in Kana in 1996, Israel lied. After the murder of the little boy Mohammed Al-Dura in 2000, Israel lied. After their murder of Rachel Corrie in 2003, Israel lied. After the 2009 bombing of a school in Gaza, killing 40 children, Israel lied. After the murderous piracy of the Mavi Marmara in 2010, Israel lied. Remember, Israel always lies." You won't see this kind of news on television. To get an accurate picture of history, you must do research on the internet, because most of the mainstream media are owned by Jews and are under the executive supervision of Jews. Israel targeted several ambulances during its invasion of Lebanon. The one making the rounds on social media recently was the least serious of those attacks, because nobody died, though someone lost his legs as a result of the missile. I had a video showing a missile attack on another ambulance, this one filled with children, and evacuating a village in southern Lebanon which the Israelis had been attacking. The missile was fired from an Israeli helicopter gunship, and the video contains a voiceover from someone with a British accent. At the end of that video, we see a distraught Lebanese driver running back toward the village, carrying a wounded child. The cameraman walks over to the ambulance, where we see another child, a girl, dead inside the vehicle. I have been unable to locate this video on the internet recently, and it is possible that copies are no longer available. Israel attempted to build a hoax about Arabs creating a hoax about Israel's attacks on International Red Cross and Red Crescent ambulances. Israel created a videotaped propaganda presentation in which the Israelis alleged that an ambulance was altered by Arabs in an attempt to make Israel look bad. This is the sort of thing Israel does frequently. They have the money and the technical competence to manufacture hoaxes, and even hoaxes about alleged hoaxes. And you just have to remember from history that Israel always lies. It has always been that way, and the way to bet when there is any doubt is that Israel is lying again. Making hoaxes of this kind seems to be a Jewish thing. Have you noticed that a lot of those swastikas painted on the sides of Jewish synagogues in supposed hate crimes that are used as an excuse for censorship and outlawing certain opinions are mirror image reversed or otherwise malformed? Yep. While that is not always the case, the reversed and malformed swastikas are common enough that you have to wonder which supposed quote-unquote Nazis are so stupid that they can't even draw a swastika correctly. The more likely explanation is that Jews are drawing these symbols themselves and then giving publicity to them so they can reap sympathy as victims of hate crimes and cite them when calling for more laws to protect them as a persecuted minority group, weaken legal protections for free speech, and censor the internet. Close quote. True, true, so true, Mr. Sims. The world's wealthiest ethnic group, the Jews, who steal millions from impoverished Appalachian grandmothers through their kosher certification scam alone, and who rake in trillions from their Wall Street manipulations, crooked bailouts, and fractional reserve scams, any one of which makes Bernie Madoff's take times a million look like shell game takings in Upper Podunk, consistently pose as a poor, persecuted minority in need of special protection and even further favors. The world's most powerful ethnic group, the Jews, who have the ability to terminate your employment, to choose exactly what your children will be taught or not taught in public schools, and which politicians will be allowed to run on any major party ticket in every single election in the United States, and who own and operate almost all media of mass communication in this country, consistently pose as oppressed and powerless victims, deserving of special favors and sympathy and extra consideration from everyone, and more deserving than anyone of protections from governments at every level. And this super wealthy, super powerful ethnic group, which owns virtually every politician in the West and possesses a vastly outsized portion of economic power, and with the ability to censor and control virtually everything that they do not own outright, consistently uses its power to attack, denigrate, persecute, personally destroy, and racially eliminate European-descended people wherever we live on planet Earth. A greater hate has never been seen, and a major focus of the Jewish power structure's efforts has been since 1945 to contracept us out of existence, abort us out of existence, to corrupt us sexually and make us view sex as something in which family formation and the birth of white children is not its primary purpose, to make us view sexual perversion and even mutilation, which renders us permanently sterile, as desirable or noble, to flood our nations with others to replace us and outvote us, to steal our wealth, not only through their multiform hoaxes to get sympathy and aid, not only through their con games on a colossal scale, such as the fractional reserve banking system and their endless hedge fund and Wall Street ripoffs, any one of which deserves its own book or perhaps series of books to expose. But also, through direct wealth transfers from whites to non-whites, which are always presented in the Jewish media as fairness, equity, and morally good, when in reality, their purpose is to impoverish and demoralize white families, making it harder and harder for us to bring children into the world, and make it easier and easier for others to do so, and thereby build the biomass of those slated to replace us in the nations our forefathers built. A greater hate, I say again, there has never been. A hate which leads to our death. The hate of those who are literally killing us. A hate so cold, so calculated, so evil, and so intense that even as they effectively slit the throats of innocent white women and children and babies from ear to ear 10,000 times a day, even as they use all their power to make it impossible for us to survive as a people, even as their arms are red with our blood up to their shoulders, they scream hater at anyone who would try to stop their murder spree. If you want to stop the killing, you are a hater. If you want to stop the killing, you are a bigot. If you want to expose the murderers, it is you who are genocidal. That is what their media lie machine and bought politicians and deluded, owned academics scream in our faces 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That is the mentality of those who murdered and maimed the American sailors on board the USS Liberty 54 years ago this week. There are 20 to 30 times more of us in this nation than there are of them. If even 1/20th of our people can become awakened to what is being done to us, we will win. That is why the opponent is constantly polling, probing, censoring, vilifying, and persecuting. He is deathly afraid that he will be found out. He is deathly afraid that his vicious, snarling hatred for us will be exposed. He is deathly afraid that he will be held accountable for his crimes. He is deathly afraid that his easy living at our expense will come to an end. He is deathly afraid that his attempted genocide of white people as a whole will become as well or better known than his attempted genocide of Palestinians. He is deathly afraid that soon the game will be up, and that this time there will be no new happy hunting ground full of fresh victims to flee to. This, then, is the mentality of those who murdered the American men aboard the USS Liberty. We need the truth about the Liberty and the truth about the attempted genocide of our people to get out. You can have a part in that. Download our Day of Infamy flyer at natal.com/liberty. That's NATALL.com/liberty, which includes the entire updated text of Dr. William Pierce's broadcast about the Liberty, along with new material, and print out hundreds or thousands of copies for distribution in your city, school, and neighborhood. If you're low on ink or want large quantities at the highest quality, have them reproduced in bulk at your local print shop or at an online printing company. Get them into the hands of every household in your area. Send them to opinion leaders and public officials. Write letters to the editor and call in to radio talk shows and tell people the truth they need to hear. Decent Americans will be outraged at how the media have lied to them about how our alleged ally cynically murdered our men to achieve their inhuman goals. The time is now, today. Act. The truth about the USS Liberty, if put in the hands of our good-hearted neighbors and friends, is an opportunity to begin the awakening process for millions of Americans. It is clear-cut. It is obvious. The malice and the lies and the corruption of our leaders are there for all to see. Use this opportunity. Put out mass numbers of our Day of Infamy flyer in your community. Download the file. Give it to your local print shop or do it yourself, and make as many copies as you can handle. Put them on porches, under windshield wipers, or in newspaper boxes. Put them under the doors of college dormitories. Hand them out on the streets. Post them on community bulletin boards. Go to natall.com/liberty. That's NATALL.com/liberty. Get the word out. And then drop us a line and tell us how good it feels to do your duty.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Resolutionrdo.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. As you say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that. and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they say, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. There's no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life just like here could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now let me, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into power in Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people And the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country growing.